This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show you should watch for any news about anything, although we do specialize in sci-fi and fantasy TV and movies. So it seems a little narrow of you, but I still appreciate you being so devoted to us. I am Dan Selke of winterscoming.net. Sometimes I forget whether it's .com or .net, but it's .net.
How long has it been, Dan? Come on.
It's been a while. I wish it were .com. No, I shouldn't have said that. And I am here with...
Mia Johnson, co-editor over on winterscoming.net and Dork Side of the Force.
And you all are delightful people who just love TV, such as Stephanie and Chloe and Nicole and Julie and Martha. Hey, all. How you doing? And I'll be honest, today is a bit of a calm before the storm day. I feel like we're right on the cusp of fall TV season, and there's all these big things coming up.
Yeah.
Like TV and movies both. Like, we got The Wheel of Time. We have Doctor Who. We have Hawkeye. We have The Expanse. And then the movies, we got like Dune. We got Eternals. Lots of stuff coming up. But they're just about ready to drop it all on us.
Yeah, it's weird because there's stuff that started in September or like What We Do in the Shadows. That's like almost over.
It is, yes.
So there's people who got a start on the September rush. And now it's kind of like, okay. And now we wait for November and holiday season.
It's quiet.
Oh, my goodness.
Too quiet. But no, it's not, because there is a lot of news going on. And we're going to talk about it right now. For example, this past weekend, Mia, do you know there was a comic convention, which were these things that used to happen in the before time. People got together, dressed up in silly outfits, and look at celebrities on panels talking about what kind of shows were going to come. And as always, the New York Comic Con, they revealed some cool stuff. I thought we'd go hit some of the highlights.
Yeah.
And as usual, you tell me how excited you are, and you tell me how excited you are about these things. Okay, brief teaser for Doctor Who Season 13, the final Doctor Who season with Jodie Whittaker in the main role and Chris Chibnall behind the camera. Mia, are you excited for this swan song for Jodie Whittaker's Doctor?
Yeah, I am. I would say it's one of the more things I'm...
That question, Chloe, we'll get to it in 1 second.
Sorry, okay. Yeah, it's one of the shows I'm definitely more excited for. I'm definitely a big Doctor Who fan. I've kind of come back on board because of Jodie Whittaker. It's kind of like refreshing to at least see a female actress in the lead. They did something really interesting this past week leading up to their Comic-Con reveal, which was I was like monitoring the site. I was monitoring Winter is Coming all Friday, and it happened to be one of the days for New York Comic-Con. And I just noticed the Doctor Who account all on social media just went dark. Like I literally saw they had two tweets. And then all of a sudden, there was nothing. Like, the Twitter account was gone. Instagram account was gone. And Facebook was gone. So, it's like, what the heck is going on? I was like, okay, I feel like this is building up to some announcement. And so, I think, I don't know if they were down for 2 days, but they didn't come back for two. They haven't tweeted for 2 days. And then they finally announced, long story short, that season 13 is coming October 31st in this month.
Halloween.
So, that was pretty exciting. And again, it's the shorter season. Only a handful of episodes, probably 6, no more than 8. And it's called Doctor Who Flux. So it even has like its own title. So that's pretty interesting.
That's happening to me. Actually, that to me makes it... I know you just noticed that.
Yeah.
That makes it approachable. Julie says we coordinated today, which I guess we did a little bit.
We're just on the same wavelength now. It's just been so long.
Okay. Well, here's a question for the group. Would you call this wine, burgundy, or maroon? I usually go with maroon, but leave it up to you. Poll in the description. Okay. We also have... Oh, and Chloe, good question. Do you think the prequel to Game of Thrones will be as good as Game of Thrones? I mean, the short answer is there's no way to know. I think, based on what we've seen, they're definitely going all out. Like, if it's not as good, it won't be for lack of trying. Like, they are definitely trying to make this an event as good as anything else. Burgundy, really? I think of it as maroon. I'll go to the dictionary after this. Burgundy, another vote for burgundy? All right, well, what do you think?
I feel like I go to burgundy more. I might have called this...
Well, fine.
I might have specifically called this wine, and it's funny because I changed out of a blue knit shirt just to wear this because I was feeling a little retro today. I'm like, I'm going to do the retro bell sleeves and put on this burgundy wine, maroon, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, Chloe's in the wine camp. I'll go look at a color dictionary later and figure it out. Anyway, Cabernet, says Stephanie. It's pretty funny. Yeah. Merlot. All right. Also, the first teaser for Outlander season 6 dropped. Mm-hmm. Revolutionary War is coming. These time-traveling true loves are going to be facing the Revolutionary War together. And will their love survive both the difference of cultures from the 20th century and the, 18th?
Right.
I know what happened. And will it survive war? Mia, have you ever interested in watching Outlander?
I know it's so popular. It's not anything that I think I'm going to start catching up on anytime soon. I'm looking at some of the footage now. Like, it looks good. I've heard people talk about it over and over and over. I was in a meeting in college, I think long ago, with one of my like bosses and one of my like student coworkers.
I hate when you remind me that you're young.
Well, this was still some years ago, okay? Mm-hmm. But I just remember them specifically talking about Outlander, and I was just kind of like, you know, like a tennis match, listening to them talk about how much they loved it and how much they loved the books and like the differences between the books and da da da. So all that to say, yeah, I know there's a huge, huge fan base, and I hope everyone's excited, but I don't think I will be catching up anytime soon. Yeah,
Nicole loves it. Julie loves it. We asked Outlander fans at WIC, and we will bring them on to talk about it in detail when it comes up. Because we're not expert in it. But yes, it looks cool. I mean, I think it's the kind of thing that I might get into because, I mean, I like time travel and I like history.
Yeah.
I got to check it out. And I'm glad you guys are excited for it. And we will bring in Stephanie, Mia, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
Stephanie, why Mia specifically? I'm curious.
I mean, I love romance too and all that. It does seem like something I would like. I think if it were condensed into a movie or like a trilogy like Twilight. Maybe. But yeah, 6 seasons for me is a lot to commit to.
As Christian says, Mia, you're a little more Pinot Noir.
Ooh.
So I like that we're all very wine knowledgeable on this podcast, because, I mean, we are. I definitely am. Yeah, Stephanie, someday I will check it out. It's on Netflix. It's not like it's hard to watch. Okay. And then finally, my personal favorite from NYCC that I am excited for was the Wheel of Time clip. They just had a whole sequence from this upcoming program, an adaptation of Robert Jordan's 14 book strong epic fantasy series coming to Amazon Studio screens near you after 31 years of not being adapted properly. And they are also going to look for this. I thought we would watch a little bit of the Wheel of Time clip and be comment on it.
Yeah.
And why I'm so excited about it. Outlander's great, guys. This is going to be great, too. I guarantee it. You're going to love this, hopefully. Roll it. Okay, so we have Emmons Field, the Shire, basically, of this world where the hobbits live. Those aren't hobbits, but those are people. But this is, I'm trying to make comparisons. Happy bar, I like the lighting. You know what I liked about this clip when I watched it?
What's that?
Was that it was paced in a sort of pleasantly laid back way. Like we're getting little glances, like they're taking time to like kind of highlight these are two of the main characters, Rand, the main character, and his buddy Perrin, who I know some spoilers already about how they change things, but I can't say them.
Okay, yeah, we'll
so
save it.
I gotta stop that. This is an important scene where Moiraine, who is Gandalf basically, an Aes Sedai sorceress played by Rosamund Pike, walks into the small town bar, and these small town idiots, right, they're like, holy god, a sorceress. What the hell? That's her.
That's what I was wondering when I watched this, if they knew like there were any sorceress or...
Oh, yeah. The Aes Sedai are known, but they're like, you don't want to get mixed up with them.
Got it.
Like, they are... That's above your pay grade as backwater villagers. Okay. And that's her protector. There she is.
Okay.
Rosamund Pike as Moiraine Sedai. Oh, she looks so good. Again... They put the resources into it. The question is, will it catch on and will it be actually, will the story be compelling? Because the money's there. The production's there. They got their fantasy smocks on. Always like that. Everyone's scared of Aes Sedai right there. The I ring see. Tells you they're Aes Sedai. And they're
see.
Like, oh, just do what she wants. It's like, you know, you hear these stories about like, Aes Sedai, I heard they turned you into a newt. Like that kind of thing.
Okay.
And some of them are nice. Some of them are bad. She's pretty cool. She's the...
So, yeah,
she's one of the better characters in the story in general, I think. What am I going to do? While you're looking at me like that, all I want is some to warm my hands and get some mead, maybe a chicken, maybe two chickens. And yeah. Okay. And again, I like how laid back it's paced.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, that explains a lot, because I watched this during the Wheel of Time panel on Friday. Right. And the showrunner, he was like, I chose this scene specifically because it's kind of the kicking off point. We've got like everyone in the cast. They're all together. So you kind of see how it's shaping up to be. So I actually learned quite a lot listening to that panel about the characters, who they are, some of the special things that they have going on. So that was actually a nice little prep. I don't know if you can go back and watch the panels. I did do a little bit of a recap too. So if you want to catch up on what you missed or what you need to learn, if you didn't read the books like me, some very informative stuff in there.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. As Julie says, I think the Wheel of Time is going to be so good. Can't wait for this one. And Chloe, two chickens, the hound. I mean, he wanted like four or five, every chicken in the place. We can't curse. Okay. I never knew that actually we could curse or not, but I'm not going to risk it. No. The hound used colorful language when he was talking about chickens.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot. It's going to be a big proving ground for Amazon and maybe fantasy in general. Yeah. So fingers crossed that it does well. All right. Looks good, says Christian. And as Chloe says, tried La Brea Lousy.
Oh, no.
Was that the one about like the fault lines or something?
Yeah,
and, like,
I just
the
saw.
Horrible earthquakes?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, NBC's trying to do like a little disaster thing. I was like, it looks like it tried
like
to be.
Like 10 years after that passed.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, 2012 and, like, was that the one? Yeah, I saw that in the theaters. And, like, the post-Armageddon stuff. No, disaster stuff is over. It's over. And on a network TV show, it's just a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Why would you try that? You can't do that. You don't have the money for that.
Yeah, it looked like they were really trying to have this big budget, but I wonder if it all went into the trailer and then everything else was just kind of, like, you know, not as high quality.
I am told by my producer, Richard Durante, that it's also a fantasy show like Land of the Lost. So I'm guessing they fall into the pit and they find some people under the earth, like a civilization.
Yes.
That's a thing. That is a popular in the imagination that kind of thing happens. I never get how, like, wait, you fall into a crack in the earth and, like, why is there a sky? But whatever.
It's the different dimensions, Dan. Your body ascends to a different dimension that cannot be seen to the human eye.
Chloe said the show record 10,000 BC. Well, Chloe, I'm sorry that you didn't really enjoy it that much. But maybe. I'm kind of talking myself into watching the first episode. We'll see what happens.
Just for the heck of it, maybe.
Anyway, moving on. Other stuff going on. Other big news bits. As I always complain about on the show, everyone now is doing Cinematic Universe. Everyone is doing the spin-offs, not just a show. We're in a network of shows and movies, so we're getting more news about that. This feels a little inevitable. Actually, this is my question for you and you guys. So, Catherine Hahn, very, very talented actress, is going to get her own WandaVision spinoff all about Agatha Harkness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that show, I'm still going to say, is still the best Marvel series, I think.
I feel like
so
it
far.
Too, yeah. Yeah, I can't refute that.
And she was a highlight on it, definitely.
Right.
She was very fun. That song alone. My question for you and all of you is, do you think they always plan an Agatha Harkness series? Or do you think her character went over really well and they were like, oh, we have to do something with this?
Yeah, I'm sure that was a response to the fans. Now, I might say something a little controversial. I think Agatha Harkness is a little overrated. I'm sorry.
How do you mean Agatha Harkness is overrated?
Because the hype that she's garnered does not match the level where I think she was a great character. I wouldn't say to the level where it's like, oh my God, I just have to have more Agatha Harkness. I need a spinoff series and I need. It was good. It was a good character. I liked the twist. I liked her as the neighbor in WandaVision. I think her as like a witch or just as a villain, I'm not into it. So sadly, this is one of those Marvel shows where I have to say, and this is sadly, you know, I'm not over the hill about it. But when it comes, I'll watch it and I'll be like, okay, it's probably, you know, going to be good. Like, okay.
I mean, I'm always a little mad at this Spider-Woman network of shows anyway, but I feel like that's at least as entertaining as a Moon Knight show or a Hawkeye show. So I was fine with that. Also, my partner had the idea to get a dog and name it Agatha Barkness.
Okay.
That was pretty funny.
I'll allow that. That's cute. Yeah. So, yeah, Agatha Harkness, which is interesting because someone had also mentioned that. Okay, I'm trying to remember, like, if Monica Rambeau is getting her own spinoff.
She is going into...
Or she's just going to be
the
in
Marvels,
the Marvels. The yeah, because there's...
Beyond that, I'm sure they
Yeah, are. There's a, like, at the top of Google, is Marvel releasing a Monica Rambeau spinoff or are we dreaming? Because I'm like, it just seems like there's always talk. Okay, this was one of those scoopers. One of the scoopers said that Monica Rambeau is getting her own spinoff. So maybe she is, maybe she isn't.
As Nicole says... Sounds interesting, especially if it's set in the past, like 1600s, which I think would be cool, yeah. Like a Marvel show, but it's like at the witch burnings or something. And like you kind of trace her back. And it'd be a comedy. It'd be a funny thing.
Yeah.
Catherine Hahn, I think, is... I mean, the actors go a long way. Like, Jeremy Renner is kind of boring, but Catherine Hahn is hilarious. I've liked her for a long time.
Okay, yeah, see, that's the thing. I think Catherine Hahn is just okay. Like, I don't find her like, oh my... Yeah, I know. Now I'm going to be burned at the stake. But you know what? I am thinking, I'm wondering if it's going to be kind of hocus pocus-y.
Sure.
Probably a little more serious with the magic and all the dark stuff that she's doing. But I can see, okay, comedy and witches and, you know, if it airs around this time, like Halloween time, I know it's going to be a really big hit. Like, and actually, you know, if it is kind of booked as a Halloween special or something like that, I would actually be into that. Because like I said, the whole Hawkeye thing being Christmassy, and then there's going to be the Guardians holiday special. So if this is a Halloween special, I might be a little more friendly towards it.
I'm not offended. I'm fine with it. Although, some good comments. Stephanie is glad that you had the balls to say it, because she never has.
Yeah.
And Christian agrees with you, trying to capitalize on her popularity. Yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah. Everyone agrees, frankly. You're just so smart, and you have a burgundy colored sweatshirt. We can do a quick detour. Chloe asked for your thoughts on the Eternals.
Yeah. Let's see.
Can I go first?
Yeah, let's go.
I think I'm just tired of Marvel. I mean, I saw Shang-Chi in the theater, and you really liked it, and I was like, it's fine. It's fine. It's always fine. Just, I'm tired of it. So, I don't know if I'll go see it, honestly. I probably will.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, I'm at a six.
You're at a six. Okay. Yeah. I think I group Shang-Chi and Eternals kind of in this skeptical phase, where I'm like, okay, these are new characters. I've never seen them before. I don't know what they do. It's not like, you know, we know Spider-Man. We know Captain America. Like, I don't know anything about these characters. So Shang-Chi won me over, which was really awesome. And it kind of raised my expectations about Eternals. And they had a clip that I had just seen today where it's they're all praising Chloe Zhao and talking about how, you know, she's this visionary because she doesn't really do blockbusters. So she's taking her indie background and squeezing it kind of into the whole Marvel prototype. So the one thing I'm concerned about is like having her creativity and then trying to fit, you know, the round peg into the Marvel hole. Like, okay, now we have to have the CGI monsters. Like that looks so silly. And
it does. Or like jokes about IKEA tables breaking them. Like, I'm going to go ahead and say that genius filmmaker Chloe Zhao wouldn't have chosen to do that. How she's making an independent film. Like it's one thing to say like, and she's never made blockbuster. Well, she is now. And, you know, the whole thing of do you change the machine or does the machine change you? And I think it's the latter, but, you know, I'm just tired.
Yeah, well, just a couple more weeks. That comes out November 5th. So, I mean, it looks good. I mean, it's got, you know, these big sweeping shots. It looks like the characters are going to be well developed. But again, translating to Marvel, we'll see.
As Stephanie says, my son and I are watching Iron Fist. I'm absolutely loving it.
Oh, wow.
I didn't actually hate Iron Fist, honest to God. Like, That was the Netflix one, right?
Yeah, I did not watch that one. It didn't appeal to me. Like, a lot of the Netflix stuff didn't appeal to me.
I watched a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, back before this whole current era of a show every other day. So, I don't know. It seemed unique.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them all, more or less. I didn't think they were brilliant. But, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it, Stephanie. Iron Fist. You go, Finn Jones. And that had Jessica Henwick as the co-lead, and that's the best thing I've ever seen her in.
Wow.
She's one of those women, I've said before, who's like absolutely everywhere, and I'm not really sure how, because she's not like that popular.
Right, she just shows up.
Iron Fist is the one time I'm like, oh, okay, you're pretty good at this acting thing. Kristen says, oh, Kumail evidently got Jack for the film. Oh, yeah. Jack to hell and back.
I was reading something on Reddit where they were talking about he got so jacked that they had to ask him to stop and revert back a little bit because he couldn't squeeze into his suit. And the only other time that happened was with Chris Hemsworth, because he went really ham on like arm day or something. They were like, buddy, we got to get you into the suit.
It's nothing more dangerous than a nerd who suddenly gets jacked and has all that power up in his head. They don't know what, you don't know what you're going to do.
But yeah, all so...
Right. Anyway, also in spinoff land, The Walking Dead is currently in its final 11th and final season, which is pretty historic, pretty important. And now they have announced a new spinoff, The Tales of the Walking Dead, which is going to be like an anthology show where every episode is distinct and self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to add on to Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead World Beyond.
Yeah.
And the Carol and Daryl show, which is going to be coming up. And the Rick Grimes movies. And now Tales of the Walking Dead. Were you ever into Walking Dead?
I was, yeah. Back when when I was living, before I got my own place and I was living with my parents still, my dad was really into it. And he's still into it. So I would just kind of pop in when he was watching and kind of, you know, the rise of Negan and seeing Glenn die and all that stuff. So I was kind of in there and he like caught me up on everything. So I kind of knew up until maybe the last two or three seasons. So I do like it. They did have some really awesome storylines, but I think this might've been a point that our dear guest, Sarah Beth Pollock, was talking about when she was on. It was kind of like,
who loves The Walking Dead.
Yeah. She's like, you know, there's only so many storylines you can tell where you're going from one camp and you got to defeat the zombies.
Yeah,
like one camp. And then there's a zombie leader, not a zombie leader, you know, just these different ragtag groups that you got to either make peace with or, you know, negotiate with and all this stuff. But I'm assuming it's still pretty good. Like, I trust my dad a lot, you know that. So he's been watching it. But I don't think I'm going to jump back in.
I was going to ask, like, you and you guys out there, because we're seeing some Walking Dead antipathy here. Nicole says Walking Dead needs to become dead. Walking Dead in space. Oh, by the way, okay, I'm free to associate. The Power Walking Dead could be a show. And Walking Dead the Plank, it's like pirates, but with zombies.
Yeah.
And what would it take for you and you guys to watch a Walking Dead show then, if you're not super, super into it? Like, would you watch an episodic thing like that? Tales of the Walking Dead.
I think it's the fact that I'm not super into the whole zombies thing. I know there's so much more that goes on with the characters and, you know, seeing them grow up and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think to me, it's the whole zombies thing that turns me off. I do wonder though, like, can you get creative and really take it outside of the, you know, like, I think if you just left the United States.
See, that sounds interesting.
Anywhere
Euro Walking
else.
Dead.
Yeah. Euro, what's going on in Tokyo? What's going on in anywhere else where, and hey, Squid Game was so popular. Korean Invasion. Come on. Let's have that. I would love, love, love to see that. Was Train to Busan, was that a zombie? Yeah. There we go. So, yeah.
I think it was Korean. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Or, yeah. Well, I know it's Korean, but I was like, was it a zombie thriller?
Yeah. It's definitely
so,
zombie.
I mean, hey, anything can be pulled off anywhere around the world. And I would love to see that. Or time jump. I think a time jump would be a little.
But they could do like other countries in a anthology kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool. I would check it out. So that's what I'm going to say. That's what we need to do, AMC, to get me to watch again.
Yeah.
Do an episode, The Walking Dead Perry.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of like with Star Wars Visions, where you've always had Star Wars has been influenced by Japanese culture, definitely, but it's always been just from this Western angle. So when they came out with Star Wars Visions and now they've got katanas and they're going to different villages and stuff, it was like, whoa, this is really cool. So yeah, play with that. Go around the world. Let's do it.
I mean, it might as well, like, if these like companies are going to have these giant sprawling worlds, you might as well do interesting different things with them. If you got to do it. And as Julie says, you're into The Walking Dead. Yeah, I know you're a fan, Julie. And yeah, I mean, it's lasted all these years because it's good. I mean, it's not like it sucks. And Stephanie said, a lot of things come from Stephanie. I always said it would be cool if they had different stars doing a cameo here and there as a zombie and see if we can figure out which zombie it is and which star. I like that too. Like,
yeah. the masked zombie.
Did they just decapitate Betty White as a zombie? Like, that'd be fun.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Like, was that Henry Kissinger whose head got blown up?
Okay. Where are we going?
I'm just naming famous people.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I guess.
I'm on a show. That's it. Okay. There are some other good comments here. I have them here. Christian's in for Dexter. It's not sci-fi, but like Dexter is... Our umbrella is kind of like stuff that's nerdy. I mean, like, yeah, it's not sci-fi, but that it's close enough. I mean, isn't it? I watched that show. He like has a passenger inside him, and it became more and more weird as it went on. We're going to cover Dexter is what I'm saying, Christian. Don't worry. Like on Wick, maybe on here. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I'll watch that. Okay. As we get, I don't think Kissinger is dead. I think he's alive. He's alive. He's 98. He spoke. This is a real topic. He spoke at, was it like John McCain's funeral? And I was like, how are you alive? Anyway.
Okay.
Going back to Walking Dead. Another big thing coming up, and I wanted to get your opinion on this because you are currently reading the book, is, and I am very, very excited for this, is the motion picture event. He's alive, Christian. Is it? It's Dune.
Yes, Dune.
By Denis Villeneuve and based on Frank Herbert's seminal 1965 science fiction novel coming out on the 22nd, I think.
Yeah.
Next week. I'm psyched. I mean, and the thing is, like, I don't even really love the Dune book. I've read it twice now, once when I was in high school and once before this movie, because maybe I should do it up. I mean, the second time I spoke on tape. But because it's very cerebral, it's very clinical. It is kind of this sweeping space opera, but written by someone who's very concerned with like ecology and politics and kind of like the little gears that kind of turn and make things happen. But it's also like an epic tale of this kid, Paul Atreides, Timothy Shyamalan Ding Dong, who is kind of a savior figure who goes to this desert planet and must become a leader. Star Wars vibes, but also more cerebral foundation vibes. It's kind of like Thinking Man Star Wars almost. How would you describe Dune, Mia,
you know,
now
what?
That you're into it?
The more, yeah, because I have been listening to the audiobook, and I told you, it was like, I'm 20% through the audiobook, but in relation to the book, that means I'm, you know, like almost
a half,
at least halfway through what the movie would be covering. So, you know, the more I read it, the more it feels like Game of Thrones to me than Star Wars. Because it's more of these manipulations or wars between two families and not so much like an empire who is over, you know, who's taking control of the galaxy. True. And then you've got the little people who are trying to restore balance of the galaxy. So you got these two, you know, like you can't trust anybody. The Duke is getting all this information and you've got what the Harkonnens who are trying to plot against him. And then you've got this kind of subplot with Paul and he's trying to figure out his identity. I'm surprised all this is in my brain, by the way. Just because, you know, like only a couple months ago, I was looking at the trailer and I was like, I don't know what any of this is. So I'm actually I am excited that this is coming out. I'm excited that I'm kind of into the book to the point where I want to see, you know, keep listening and find out what happens.
As Julie says, I was looking forward to Dune, but I feel like it's coming forever. So now I've cooled off on it. I get that.
Yeah,
it was one of those pushback during the pandemic things. Now that it's almost here, I'm excited again because it's supposed to be such a grand cinematic project. Like he put all the stops and I will see it in the theater with a mask on and everything. At least that's my plan, because I feel like they made this to be experienced in like a giant blown up thing. You don't have to do whatever you want. I'm in favor of that, but I'm looking forward to that experience.
Yeah.
But you know how it's different from Game of Thrones? I agree with you. That's kind of like the political stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as fun.
Like, yeah, it is
Tyrion's
a slow
funny.
Burn.
Like Cersei, drinks too much. Like Robert Baratheon drinks too much. Daenerys feeds her dragons little scraps. Like Dune, it does have Game of Thrones thing, but it's not as fun.
Yeah,
it's more self-serious.
It is very serious, and I think that's kind of what people are noticing in the movie as they start, you know, they've been watching and previewing, is that they have injected this 2020, 2021 sort of humor, like Jason Momoa. I think he's, is he Duncan Idaho?
He is.
And he's making all these quips. And even though, like, okay, during the scene where he was training Paul, there is a little bit of back and forth between them, but it's like, you know, he's making Aquaman quips basically. And it's 100%. it's definitely not the tone of Dune. So I think people are either going to like that because it's familiar and they don't quite know what Dune is about anyway. Or if you are familiar with Dune, it might turn you off because you're like, but wait, this isn't the tone of the original work.
Do you always get suspicious whenever, like, or I do, whenever I read a director who's saying something like, we're trying to preserve the original tone of the thing. Like, that means he changed everything. Like, you just don't want to say it. Like, the Wheel of Time guy is saying that.
Yeah.
And again, I can't see the spoilers, but, like, they're changed. I shouldn't say anything. The Dune guy is saying, like, the original tone is preserved. We have to change some things. Like, you didn't. You just slapped some quips on it to, like, did you get Chris Pratt in there somewhere to appeal to middle America? Did you do that, too? Like, to just kind of flatten out what is difficult but also sort of interesting about it. But I mean, Denis Villeneuve is a very, in his own right, a visionary filmmaker.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And they hired whoever is writing or co-writing the script has all these Oscar nominations, I think, for like Forrest Gump, if I'm not mistaken, and all these, you know, like prestigious movies. So I'm hoping that it does translate well, unless there's someone like standing over his shoulder and being like, okay, well, now Duncan has to say something funny. And he's like, but why should he? but I do kind of have high hopes. I think they're trying to meet it somewhere in the middle where it's, you know, 21st century enough, but still has the heart of the book, as they like to say it. You know, you take away the heart of the story and it's still there and it's not changed too much.
As Chloe said, the future was good. Read Chris Pratt. I'm sorry, Chloe. I've kind of had like a mini vendetta against Chris Pratt since he was cast as Super Mario in that movie.
He did nothing wrong.
Still trying to, he accepted the job. I'm still trying to get my head to there, but it'll happen. It'll happen. So it's fine. Don't worry about me. I like Chris Pratt.
Okay. That's good to know.
Any other comments on any of this from Mia or anybody else before we move on to our final segment?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Oh, the one thing I am looking forward to, because I haven't gotten too deep into like him and the Fremen and it's Chani, Zendaya's
character.
So
where are you now in the book then? Like, have they gone into the desert
yet? They've gone to the desert. They just kind of had where, you know, the attack where Paul finds out, you know, someone's trying to assassinate him. And now they're kind of, I think there's even this paranoia about Lady Jessica too.
Yes.
Like, is she plotting against him? So I just kind of get up to there. So it is very, very much a slow burn. But yeah, I want to see, okay, how do things develop with Paul? Because I've been deep in the chapters where they're just talking about, let's, you know, do stuff to not be infiltrated by the Harkonnens.
Best of luck.
Thank you. It's a lot. Yeah. So looking forward to it. October 22nd. I think I'm going to watch it on HBO Max. I don't think I need to go out to the theater, but
I do. I need to do it.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's doing really well.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see what the U.S. thinks.
Okay. Shall we move on to the final segment, Mia?
I think I'm ready.
All right. Get ready, everybody, for the final segment of the show, the Wick News Lightning Round. Lightning, thunder.
Wanna lose you.
All right. Where we go through several stories that we didn't have time to cover in the main show and give our 20-second opinions on them. No more, sometimes less, and that's how it goes. I also have a final one that I'm going to ask at the very end of it, because I didn't. It happened at the end of it, so get ready.
Bonus question.
All right. The first one's for you.
Okay.
Amiya. Will Poulter will play the Marvel character Adam Warlock in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Who dat?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was a big surprise. He's the meme kid from We're the Millers. He's like, wait, you guys are getting paid? But he was also in Detroit and he was in Bandersnatch. He's a British actor, which all British actors are great. So I think he wasn't like everyone's first pick for this as, you know, this super duper character. But I think he's going to do well. People wanted Zac Efron, which is funny. So completely different.
Okay.
All right. This one is for you, Dan. Lord of the Rings star Sir Lenny Henry says Amazon will need 10 years to tell the story.
I'm sure they hope they will. What's interesting to me is that Sir Lenny Henry, apparently in this new Amazon Lord of the Rings show, is going to play a hobbit. Now, I'm going to dork out for a second. We don't know what hobbits were doing in the second age or the first age when the show was set. Like, they don't come into the third age, so the movies know. So they're going to have hobbits. They're going to invent some hobbit stuff. They're going to invent some hobbit backstory. And Sir Lenny Henry's going to be one. 10 years. Yeah. Okay. Mia, yes. This is a visual special. I want to hear your opinion on this too,
ding,
people.
Ding, ding.
Okay. Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka. Here's a picture. Thoughts?
Yeah, okay. My favorite meme from this is that he looks like Gonzo from the Christmas Muppets Christmas Carol.
He does. Or a doctor from Doctor Who, honestly,
yeah,
I thought.
Oh my gosh, yeah, definitely. I don't know. It looks a little weird. I don't know what to make of it. It's Timothy Chalamet, Willy Wonka. He doesn't cross me as anyone funny, so... okay. Oh, yes, yes,
he's
yes.
He's one of those guys everywhere. Like him, Chris Pratt, and Tom Holland.
Yeah.
They're the three people who are just like everywhere. Yeah, okay.
Three horsemen. Okay. Let's see. Ah, Jamie Clayton is Pinhead. Cast as Pinhead in the Hellraiser movie.
Remake. Yeah. Hellraiser, classic horror franchise from Clive Barker with the disgustingly malformed Cenobites. Jamie Clayton is, I remember her from Sense8. She was one of the lead characters in that. Cool. They're kind of gender bending Pinhead a bit. I mean, Pinhead is, you know, it's beyond gender. You know? Okay.
Just in time.
I guess. All right, Mia. Here's a one straight from Hogwarts. Tom Felton, who played Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter movie series, took the Harry Potter house quiz, found out he's a Gryffindor, not a Slytherin.
Yeah, oh my goodness, what a big shock. I mean, it's a given that, you know, your personality is not going to be the personality of the character that you play. And especially for him, Tom Felton is just so nice and so generous that there's like no way he could be a Slytherin either way. But I mean, for 20 years, he's kind of had that Slytherin identity at heart playing that character. So I think he'll still represent.
Right, nice.
Okay. This is funny. Madonna, famed singer, regrets turning down a role in The Matrix.
Something in the way you love me won't let me be. I don't want to be a prisoner in The Matrix. So baby, won't you set me free? Borderline. That would have been fun. I wonder what single we would have gotten had she played, I'm assuming, Trinity. But we'll never know. Madonna, The Matrix. I would have watched it.
Don't need that. Oh, yeah. She sang a song like Die Another Day.
That sucked.
Another day. Ugh.
I remember seeing it like this is, I don't know who it was. Like, this is awful.
Yeah, I added that to my James Bond playlist and I listened to it. I was like, no, this is going off.
That might be the worst James Bond theme that was ever written.
Did No Time to Die came out, didn't it?
I like, see, that one I kind of like. That was Soft Voice Girl.
Billie Eilish.
There you go, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that one came out over the weekend. Didn't see it, but that's besides the point. We're still doing.
Yes, okay. Mia, what did you think of Muppet's Haunted Mansion that you watched?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, speaking of Gonzo from the Muppets, you know what? This was actually pretty charming. I have kind of had like this whole Muppets thing last year and it's come back. It's basically just paying homage to the whole Haunted Mansion. It has all the noticeable thrills and gags and all that stuff. So I really, really liked it. It was pretty funny. And yeah, I think that was it, but I got my point across. Okay. This is the final one for you.
Oh, I want more spice you,
okay, for you. Okay. Dean Cain accuses DC of bandwagoning by having Superman's son, John Kent, come out as bisexual.
Yeah, this caused some waves. So, okay. So I'm not caught up on this. Like the Clark Kent's son is now Superman in the comics and he's bisexual in the comics. And they announced it and it was a whole like kind of Twitter thing. And Dean Cain, who played Superman back in the 90s, and it's sort of a history of being like a little bit of like a rabble rouser Fox News kind of guy, came on and said like, what? That's silly. It kind of gave us like old man yell at cloud vibes. Okay. I took too much time just summarizing what happened. And finally, I just wanted to add one because it came on.
I'm a surprise.
It's not hard, don't worry. William Shatner went into space today aboard Jeff Bezos' rocket. What do you think?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, that's got to be exciting. I can only imagine 90 and having to like thrust off into the atmosphere and feeling the G's. Like, I did the Disney ride where you go up into space, and even that was a lot. So bless him for doing it, for pulling it off. And I'm sure it was exciting just to be part of Star Trek for so long that he finally gets to go to space.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good for William Shatner. And one comment I'll just before we go, because Christian asked, any rumors about the Dragonlance Chronicles being made into a series or movie? No, Christian. And I feel like if there were, I would have heard them, because all we do is report on like new shows being developed from books. And there are a lot of shows being developed from books. So not yet. But if it's going to be made into a movie or a TV series, now's the time. So it could literally happen any second. I have not read those, but maybe perhaps we'll get around to it. Well, I had fun. And thank you, Christian. Good job. That's a borderline's a go-to karaoke song for me. It's easy. It's right in a comfortable range.
Love that. Yeah. Know your range. That's always
know
important.
Your range. Okay. Goodbye, Julie. In fact, goodbye, everyone. We had a great time with you as always. And remember, Take the Black is also available in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts, be it from iTunes, Google Play, or elsewhere. Nope. And there is a link to our WIC club. We get extra articles and videos in the description, I believe. We're here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Winter Is Coming Facebook page and the Winter Is Coming YouTube channel to discuss all things pertinent to your and our lives insofar as those lives intersect with television, movies, fantasy, and sci-fi. Yeah, I think that's true. So thanks a lot for watching. We'll see you next week. Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.